Chapter 4. Carter, 4 weeks later. I've often heard it said that the Lord works in mysterious ways, but I've never truly experienced it until the past few weeks. After 2 years of praying for God to renew my passion for my art and seeming to receive not a single answer, the past 4 weeks have been almost overwhelming. Ideas come at me with such regularity that I've taken to carrying my sketchbook with me everywhere again. I haven't done that since my first year living in New York City, where it became easier to simply mull over the idea during the day and then lay down the sketch in the evening. At the time, I thought it was because I'd gotten mature enough in my painting that I could cull through mediocre ideas without exploring them on paper. Now, I have to wonder if I'd already been losing my inspiration. There is no question that I'm inspired now. A piece of trash on the ground, a person laughing too loudly in a quiet coffee shop, or even a near crash when a car stopped at the yellow light of an intersection and the car behind them had to swerve into the ditch because they'd been intending to keep going. The smallest moments in life make me think of ideas. They make me think of Emma. How had less than an hour with a random woman made such an impact on me? The results can't be denied. My sketchbook holds several pages of quick doodles and nearly a dozen partially fleshed out sketches of groupings that don't quite work. There's always one item that doesn't seem to belong, and it's more than replacing the depth I've been missing in my work. The burn to draw is fading some and becoming containable. It's probably a good thing. A fire that hot isn't sustainable. Fortunately, I'm nowhere near the chill of fearing my art career is going to die at an age as absurdly young as it began. Still, it would be nice if I had a way to spend more time with Emma to see if that fuels the intensity a little longer. She's become an almost mythic creature in my mind, but that imaginary version of her isn't as compelling as the real one was. I shift the strap of my leather messenger bag so it rests more securely on my shoulder and stroll through the quiet museum. It's after public hours, but as long as I'm out before the office is closed, no one cares. When I was a boy, I'd found drawing in the shadow of the masters to be inspiring. Over the years, I've dropped that habit as well. Reviving it hasn't seemed to make as much difference as the fresh inspiration did.
Oh, Carter, I didn't know you were still here.
Carl Leonard, the museum director and head curator, strolls into the lobby of the McGrady Museum of Art from the wing opposite the one I'd been strolling through. I give him a nod. Just a little quiet inspiration from those who've come before me. He gives a pleased sigh.
It can't be beat. I'm still amazed that I get to work with such beauty every day.
A person dressed in the almost formal wear of a professional caterer enters the wing Carl recently exited. I nod toward the wide archway. What's happening?
Private event. A celebration of a new fashion line from the daughter of one of our patrons.
Catering? I try to subtly lean around him to make sure the ropes have been put up in the gallery. It makes me nervous when food and drink are brought into the gallery spaces.
Relax, Carter. The cocktail tables are in the center, the perimeter cords are in place, and the catering staff has been briefed on how high to fill the drink glasses and to keep the flow of food slow.
Carl gives me a pointed stare.
You're not the only one who respects the art, you know.
I should be a little embarrassed over his admonishment, but I'm not. I give a small shrug.
You asked me to be the artistic representative for a reason.
He claps me on the shoulder and walks me toward the staff exit.
That I did. Not that the board doesn't have reverence and respect for the works in our care, but it is nice to have an idea of how the creators of the work would view our efforts.
When the museum had asked me to be a consultant, I'd thought it a needless position. I was mostly correct, but there have been a few times I've been glad to point out how an artist might wish their work to be treated or displayed differently.
You'll be in the board meetings for the next few months, right? We're starting to cull through the options for the new self-guided tour.
I'll be here. I restrain a sigh, but can't keep my resignation out of the words. Carl chuckles.
Not everyone wants to sit in front of a Caravaggio for hours and let it speak to their soul, you know.
I hate that he's right. I want art to be accessible to everyone, but I also want them to experience the deep, powerful connection to it as well. I've never wanted a guide in an art museum since I'm there to experience the art, but I can see where other people might need the assistance. For most, the museum's old style of a printed brochure of highlights isn't enough anymore. Emma pops into my head once more, sitting in that plastic chair designed for efficiency and value instead of aesthetics, declaring she hates art. Whatever you choose, I say as I reach for the door, it needs to highlight the way we connect to art. Even someone who hates what they are looking at should be able to respect that emotional pull. Carl nods in thought.
You want them immersed in the art.
Exactly. That's how I felt when I looked at particular pieces. Immersed in the world the artist created, connected to the idea and inspired in my own life. In a way, that time with Emma was like a piece of art. I stepped into a different view of the world and was inspired by it. What a shame I can't revisit it like I do the Caravaggio in this museum that I would stare at when I was a kid.
Do you want to stay for the party?
Carl gestures back toward the gallery being set up.
I've an extra tie in my office if you feel the need to dress it up a bit.
I shake my head. Thanks for the invitation, though. One step outside, and my mind immediately changes. To my left is the staff parking lot and my car. To my right is the museum's main entrance, where people are already arriving for tonight's party. I immediately recognize the blonde standing to the side as a valet drives away in a red Mercedes. Her hair rolls in artful curls past her shoulders, highlighted against the sleek drape of the black dress. The two older blondes from the art gallery are there as well, already preparing to enter the museum. Nowhere is there a head of sleek brown hair, but even the possibility of her showing up tonight has me changing my plans. A silver hatchback hybrid purrs up to the valet next. The uniformed driver opens the door and offers an arm of support to the driver. My heart speeds up a little when I see the heavy black square on a black leather band wrapped around the wrist of the hand that emerges. One foot appears wearing a strappy sandal, the heel of which is caught on the hem of a green skirt. With more expedience than grace, Emma emerges from the car and sets herself to rights. Beneath her black wrap is a blue and green gown, and her brown hair is ensconced in a twisted updo that leaves her face fully visible. It takes me a few minutes to stash my satchel in the car and return to the museum, swinging by Carl's office to take him up on the offer of a tie. My gray sport coat and pale blue shirt aren't exactly formal, but as I'll be more of a lurker than a true guest, it should be all right. I don't immediately return to the gallery room where the party is being held. I want to observe Emma again, which means a lot more people need to arrive before I make an appearance. The party doesn't officially start for another 20 minutes. A half hour after that, I slip into the gallery room through an employee door tucked into a corner. My gaze immediately tracks to Emma. Her dress is a gradient of blue and green, sleeveless and elegantly draped. Now that she's standing somewhat still, it doesn't look the least bit awkward, aside from the watch on her wrist. That hand holds a tall, cylindrical glass that she occasionally sips from as she smiles and nods at the people talking to her. Several models stroll the room in clothing bearing similar shades of blue and green to the one in Emma's dress. She couldn't possibly be the designer. No, people seem most interested in talking to the blonde in the black dress. I accept a glass from a passing waiter so that I look the part of a guest, then find a corner to observe from. The art on the wall is given nothing but a passing glance by the party attendees. That one of my pieces is among those being ignored adds a little salt to the wound. I sidle around the room, trying to get close enough to Emma that I can hear her conversation, but not draw her notice. Does this make me a stalker? We've only met once nearly a month ago. If caught, I'll just pretend I was trying to recall where I know her from. I wince a little at the duplicity of such a statement, but wasn't I just asking God to prolong the excitement of this new direction for a little while longer? Emma's presence is an answer to prayer. When I get within hearing distance, Emma is talking to an older woman with an abundance of sparkling jewelry, in addition to a sparkling dress. If those gemstones are real, the security guard in the far corner might be here for her as much as he is for protecting the art.
She's an utter genius.
The woman raises her glass in a toast, and Emma copies the movement with a tight smile on her face.
I always knew she was going to accomplish great things.
Emma seems to frown a little at this, but she covers it with a sip of what I strongly suspect is water.
I've been visiting the boutique for years, you know. When Amethyst started offering stylist services and custom designs, it took a fabulous store to an exceptional one.
The woman stops smiling indulgently at the blonde across the room and turns a critical eye toward Emma.
Is this one of the early designs? It looks similar to the one I was admiring earlier, but it doesn't have the pretty sleeves. Amy made this one just for me.
Emma's smile is almost wooden now, and her gaze isn't focusing on the other lady.
You should have had her add the sleeves. It looks better.
I search the room for a model wearing the dress the woman is referring to. Once I find it, I have to admit the light tiers of fluttering fabric that make the sleeves bring an impressive addition to the look, but it doesn't stop me from wanting to come to Emma's defense.
The official design with the sleeves will be available in the boutique next week.
The only reason I know it's Emma's voice is that it matches the movements being made by her lips. She doesn't sound at all like the charming woman I talked to in a break room a month ago. Is there a way to paint sound? Could I represent such a change visually?
Your mother tells me you are going to be joining the boutique soon.
The wooden expression on Emma's face gives way to wide-eyed panic as she chokes on the sip she just took. Her free hand slaps three times against her chest, and the older woman takes a half step back in alarm.
I'm sorry.
Emma gives that tight smile again, but with her eyes still wide, it looks somewhat manic.
What did my mother say? It was after they had that social media scheduling issue last week. She said you were going to be coming in as their technical support, since you worked with computers. Might as well keep it in the family.
Emma blinks three times.
But I'm a programmer.
The older woman frowns.
That's not with computers? Yes, but, will you excuse me? I need to find my mother.
I'm not certain what Emma's thinking. I'm not even certain Emma knows what she's thinking, but she presses the glass of water into the other woman's hand and moves to cross the room. The woman looks at the water in complete befuddlement until a passing server takes it from her and offers a partially filled flute of champagne instead. My lips curve into a smile as I watch Emma move across the room. She isn't strolling or gliding like most of the other occupants. Nor is she striding with great strength and purpose, though I think that might be the fault of the shoes. Her walk is a little unsteady. Again, the shoes, and somewhat hesitant, as if she's trying to hurry without looking like she's hurrying. She stops near where the group of people have congregated around the blonde, but doesn't infiltrate the cluster. Instead, she stares at a nearby painting. I shift until I can see the side of her face. She isn't just biding her time until she can break into the conversation. The view has completely captured her attention. I can't handle not knowing what she's thinking right now. Because the painting she finds enthralling is one of mine.